WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. At least 28 people have been hurt after a driver drove a vehicle into a crowd in Munich, Germany. The suspect, an Afghan asylum seeker, has been arrested. Hamas now says it will release three Israeli hostages as scheduled this week, paving the way toward resolving a major dispute over the Gaza ceasefire. A federal judge granting the Trump administration the green light to move forward with those buyouts for federal workers. However, now it's too late for those who didn't act.
This morning, the window for the more than 2 million federal employees to accept the buyout offer is now closed, as Elon Musk and his Doge team cut the government's workforce under the direction of President Trump. More than 73,000 people accepting that offer before the final email last night.
ABC's Perry Russum. President Trump says he and Russian President Vladimir Putin have agreed to begin negotiations on ending the war in Ukraine. Trump has been noncommittal as to whether Ukraine would be an equal participant in talks. This is ABC News. The Attorney General of Louisiana now going after a New York doctor over drugs that can be used to induce an abortion. ABC's Jim Ryan.
Dr. Margaret Carpenter is accused of shipping an abortion drug to a pregnant teenager in Louisiana, where those drugs are prohibited. West Baton Rouge District Attorney Tony Clayton.
This doctor has a date with Louisiana. Louisiana justice.
An extradition request has been filed, but New York Governor Kathy Hochul says,
never, under any circumstances, will I sign an extradition agreement.
The teenager's mother also faces charges for ordering her daughter's abortion drug from Carpenter's New York clinic. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Elon Musk now says he's willing to scrap his bid to buy OpenAI if the board of directors there will roll back its plans to turn it into a for-profit company. Musk has put together a bid of over $97 billion for the maker of ChatGPT, which he helped co-found, OpenAI's head, flatly refusing. I'm Sherry Preston, ABC News.
This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
When it comes to my lifestyle and diet, I don't always make the smartest choices.
Touchdown! Woo! Hey, how about another round and some more chips?
But when it comes to taking care of my liver, I do make one very smart choice. Active Liver Tablets from New Nordic. I used to have real issues with my liver, and at my last checkup, my doc was concerned about my numbers. But since adding a once-a-day active liver tablet, my gut's better, I feel great, and my doctor's happy. I ask a lot of my liver, so the least I can do to say thanks is a daily dose of active liver.
You ask a lot of your liver, so give it the support it needs with active liver. You can find active liver at Amazon.com, or for a volume discount, visit NewNordicUSA.com. Go to NewNordicUSA.com, Amazon, or ask for active liver at your local CVS. New year, new you, New Nordic.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
The Bucks beat the Timberwolves. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Despite missing Giannis and Damian Lillard, the Bucks beat the Timberwolves in Minnesota, 103-101. Doc Rivers pleased with the new players who stepped in, like Kyle Kuzma and Gary Trent, and the performance by Kevin Porter Jr.
His guts, he's calm. Kuz, I thought, had some great plays downhill. Gary Trent, a lot of guys just played well. We moved the ball, you know, the entire game.
I guess what you like about your effort defense?
Just gutty. Gutty. We did our best of doing it without fouling. Overall, we did that, and that was really good.
Kyle Kuzma, what it's like playing for the Bucks instead of the last place Washington Wizards.
You know, I'm not going to call Washington a bad team because it's not a bad team. They're just in a rebuild, and they're trying to figure out what they want to do there for their future. Matters.
Baseball. The Brewers signing lefty Tyler Alexander to a one-year, $1 million deal. He had been with the Tampa Bay Rays. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Although it's been nominated for Best Picture and several other awards, there was a point when Timothée Chalamet thought A Complete Unknown would never get made. The Bob Dylan biopic was announced by director James Mangold in 2020, but was shelved due to COVID. It eventually found its way to the big screen 5 years later. Chalamet said that gave him time to learn how to play the guitar and to sing. That might just be what puts him over the top in the race for Best Actor as well. Stand by. In an age where it can take years just for a TV show to get renewed, that is not the case with the show Reacher. The popular streamer returns for season 3 February 20th, barely 1 year from the debut of season 2. Reacher fans appreciate the aggressive shooting schedule, I'm sure. 8 new episodes will drop one at a time, sigh, on Amazon Prime. I saw the trailer for the new season the other night, and somehow they found a man bigger than Alan Ritchson to be his nemesis. Hope it's better than season 2. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is cold out there this morning, and it's not really going to warm up much today. Partly cloudy, 7 above this afternoon. Tonight, 11 below. Tomorrow, snow will develop in the afternoon and continue into tomorrow night. 1 to 2 inches of accumulation possible by Saturday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently 18 below.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Eve Galanter will be our guest as she talks about civics and civility and what we're teaching our high school kids and how you can get involved. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
This is the Buzz of the North. 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to the second hour of Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly here with Greg Bach. We've got Renee Peplum on board as my co-host. And hey, it's Brittany Merlot time. Good morning, Brittany.
Yeah,
good
Brittany.
Morning. How are you? Good. We're shoveling, you know. Greg's got some snow at the bottom of his driveway.
And on my driveway, and on my steps, and on my house, and on my grass, and on my car, and everywhere. Are you happy, DJ Flip Mix?
I am. Oh, how much did you get, Greg? I'm sorry. If I was close to
I'm so sorry that you guys know that you hate it.
That's exactly the comment that Rob made yesterday, by the way. If he was closer, he'd be happy to dig
Greg. Yeah, and I so appreciate that. So appreciate that. I think on total, I got about... probably like 7 inches, 6 or 7 inches, maybe. I don't know. But
I got
an annoying amount.
Wow. Yeah. Milwaukee's coming in at 7.5 inches. Janesville, 7.1. Monroe, 6 inches. Pewaukee, 5.8. So, yes, a southern part of the state got hit hard yesterday. That snow is now leaving, but a little few flurries are still flying lakeside. That will wind down today. The sun will shine, but it is a cold one. Let me tell you, Greg, if you're up northwest with us, we are already below zero. It is 18 below right now, actual temperatures into Hayward. We're feeling those wind chills, too. So, yes, all throughout the state, most of us feeling sub-zero, except for far southeast, of course, where all that snow went. So as we go through the day today, highs won't get too warm. Only single digits for northwest parts of the state, teens, mid-teens or so to southwest parts of the state. Very breezy winds gusting up to 20, 25 miles per hour is really going to be making it feel about 10 to 15 degrees colder. So hanging out around the 0 degree mark throughout the day today, and then another storm headed our way tomorrow on Valentine's Day. Not good timing at all. We are looking at a big one. This looks like it's going to hit after 3 o'clock or so tomorrow afternoon into the evening and potentially into Saturday as well. And right now it's looking like a widespread 4 to 7 inches for a majority of the state. Far, far northwest, maybe you'll get 2 to 5, but most of us looking at 4 to 7 areas could see up to a foot. We're still tracking exactly where that's going to go, but I mean, this one's going to be a heavy hitter tomorrow.
I hear you saying that this Valentine's Day, it's a good day to just cuddle up.
Yes, 100%. Do that.
Stay home.
Mm-hmm. I wish.
I know, and it doesn't get any better after that either, because as the snow lingers into Saturday, so tomorrow and Saturday will be with highs in the 20s. So a little bit warmer, a little mild. But behind that, on Sunday and into next week, we crash cold once again down to just the single digits, barely struggling to get to 10 degrees. So it's going to be a cold blast after this, too.
Make it stop.
I know. Spring is soon, I promise. We've only got a couple of weeks left of this, so we're almost there.
Oh my gosh. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for keeping us safe and helping us understand what's happening throughout the day and tomorrow. And I'll look forward to seeing you on Monday when I come back. But Todd's going to be here tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. We'll keep you updated. Right. And you guys have a good day.
Take care.
You too, Brittany.
Bye.
All right. So later this morning, we're also going to be visiting with Rep. Margaret Arney from the Milwaukee area. Of course, you're welcome to join the conversation at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. You can text in on the Civic Media app or comment on the live stream on YouTube as well. And if you've missed any of our discussions or you want to watch a past episode of this or any Civic Media show, you can go to civicmedia.us. So, hey, here we are. It's cold. It's wintry. But, you know, we've got each other. And we've got Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski joining us. Good morning, Secretary. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. Good morning, Kristen. It's so good to be here with you guys today.
Women win Wisconsin. It all started with you. You coined that that phrase, and that's what this whole Galentine's Day show is about. Gosh. Why we have a record number of women in Wisconsin state legislature.
Yeah, 33%. I mean, we're getting closer to that 50, you know, every election cycle. I mean, this is something I hope I can see maybe in my lifetime here, you know?
But this didn't just happen. I mean, this was a lot of effort over a period of many years, and you have been at the forefront. So remind us a little bit about your achievements. I mean, you are currently the Secretary of State. Prior to that, you were the treasurer for our state. Both of these offices needed a little revamping, and you came in and you flipped them.
Right. Yes. Yeah. No, I did not think that I would be standing here as your Secretary of State or state treasurer, as I used to joke. I'm like, I wasn't that kid in high school that was drawing like dollar signs or like the U.S. Capitol on my notebook as a kid. But I think, you know, something that we know, especially I think we can say this is true about women, when we see something wrong, we want to stand up and do something about it. Like, we're just not going to sit on the sidelines. And as nerdy as this is, that moment for me was when I found out that Scott Walker was trying to get rid of the state treasurer's office. I actually started my finance career doing microfinance for women in rural parts of the world because they just didn't have access to capital the same way. And so what I, you know, what was so transformative for me doing that work was seeing how these women, when they were able to actually get access to capital, they not only had these successful businesses, but they then used that money to then change their communities. And they were then lending to the men, and women were going to school in different ways that they weren't. And so when I saw that Scott Walker was trying to get rid of our chief financial officer, I was like, this seems a little suspicious. Mm-hmm. You know, like, we wouldn't get rid of our chief financial officer for a business. So why do we think that's good government? And then next thing you know, I'm leading this constitutional amendment to stave the state treasurer's office. And still to this day, I can see my husband being like, you're doing what? Wait, what do you think you're doing, Sarah? And I'm like, I don't know. We'll just figure it out.
And why do you think that you are the person who can lead this charge? I mean, you're not the first. You weren't the first state treasurer. It had gotten to this point where it was a defunct office. There wasn't a lot going on with it, which was the excuse that Scott Walker was using to eliminate it. But you turned it around.
Right. I mean, I think what we know is that when you are the, you know, chief financial officer for your state, that includes a lot of things. And for me, it was about not just let's make sure that we're investing in Wisconsin. You know, at the time, we were 50th when it came to money for small businesses. So the amount of money Silicon Valley was getting in one day was what Wisconsin was getting in an entire year. Wow. That's not right. Or you think about it, we were with economic security issues, like affordable childcare, paid family leave, I mean, retirement security, you know, like we don't have a kind of public retirement fund that people can pay into. You have to get that through your employer. And mm-hmm. with so many people now that work for Uber or might be, you know, like servers are work for small businesses. They don't have this, you know, comprehensive 401k plan. So what are people supposed to do? They want to, you know, they work hard. They deserve an opportunity to retire. So it was, I think, all of these larger economic security issues, and we just didn't really have a voice. And that's exactly what the state treasurer was supposed to be doing for Wisconsin.
Hey, and recognizing that economic security isn't just about having enough money, but it's about all of those other pieces that you just mentioned, the childcare piece, the healthcare piece. It's building up, it's a holistic vision of a community that supports families, supports individuals, supports small businesses. It's so much more than just dollars and cents.
Yeah. And I think one of the, you know, one of my favorite projects that we did when I was state treasurer was working to create this program called 401 Kids, because something that we know, how do you build wealth? You got to own a home. Mm-hmm. Well, how can you own a home if you have all this debt from school, or, you know, you're making minimum wage and you can't afford a down payment? And so one of the things that we were able to really think about is if we started creating these investment funds the day a child is born, and we start putting money in that account and it's earning 7 to 9% interest, because that's what a retirement account is earning. Mm-hmm. You know, you think about it, the time you're 18, 20, 25, that's going to be money for you to help you buy a home or to start a business or you name it, and really kind of address the wealth gap in ways that I don't think, you know, we've been able to do before.
Now, Renee and I have both benefited from your visionary leadership and your investment in the women of Wisconsin, recognizing that if we don't promote women, if we don't do what you did with the micro capital, you know, making sure that people have what they need in order to get that step up so that they can in turn invest in their community. So what is your vision for the women of Wisconsin in politics in the years to come?
Well, it's funny you say that, Kristen, because I literally, when I got up this morning, I'm like, what am I? I need some coffee. And so I have my mug that says, behind every great woman are great women.
Cheers.
So I feel like it could not be any better. But I mean, look, I think something that we know is, whether it's women being asked 5 to 7 times before they consider even running for office, we've got to be there to support one another and encourage people. When I first ran for office in 2018, probably one of the hardest things for me is we worked together as a group to try to help every woman get elected at the state and assembly level, and me being a statewide elected. But on election day, I was the only woman who made it, because of gerrymandering, as an example. And so that to me was, and I'm walking around the halls of the Capitol, and at the time it was like less than 25% of our state legislature was women. And I'm like, we've got to change this. And the only way we're going to change it is if we really encourage one another and let them know they can do that. And we're there for them.
Mm-hmm. We need to continue to uplift each other and to support each other. If our listeners are feeling inspired like I am by this conversation, how can they find you? How can they learn more about getting involved?
Well, they can either contact me directly, of course, through the Secretary of State's office. That's always one way. Or another way is contacting me through kind of the political office, which is through sarahforwisconsin.com. But whether it is working to get more women elected, we've now also created this group called Electing Women Wisconsin. And so I think these things will continue.
Amazing. Secretary of State Godlewski, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for your visionary leadership. We are so grateful to you.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's good to see you.
Great to see you. Come on back. We've got more to come. Civic Media Mornings with Dr. Kristen Lyerly on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Believe it or not, it is once again time for Wisconsinites to head to the polls and vote. I know, we all have a bit of election fatigue after 2024, but the spring election primary is coming up on Tuesday, February 18th. One race that will be on every ballot statewide for the spring primary is for state superintendent. Incumbent Jill Underley is seeking another term,
and two candidates are challenging her. Jeff Wright, superintendent for Sauk Prairie Schools, and Brittany Kinzer, an education consultant and former charter school executive. Kinzer's candidacy, in particular, is gaining steam. Her campaign reported raising more than $500,000, far more than what Underly or Wright have brought in. With that type of financial support, this could prove to be a more competitive race for state superintendent than what we've seen in quite some time. This is becoming a real race to watch.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey folks, this is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. We have all stopped at a convenience store for a necessity or two. A bottle of water, a half a gallon of milk, or a bag of pickle-flavored potato chips. I mean, those are necessities in your house too, right? But there is a cost for that kind of convenience, as much as 54% more. Now, when I was in my early 20s, like some of you, I may have done most of my shopping at the 7-Eleven around the corner from my apartment. And boy, oh boy, I wish I had known that shopping regularly at convenience stores instead of supermarkets meant I was paying a lot more for my groceries. A National Institute of Health survey recently found that milk can cost 11 to 14% more at those stores, apples and bananas 10 to 53% more, and cereal can cost as much as 54% more. So, for your regular food shopping, keep more money in your wallet and head on over to the supermarket. For more tips on saving, text MONEY to 88285. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Welcome back to our Galentine's Day celebration. It is Women Win Wisconsin all program long on Civic Media Mornings this morning. Greg and I have been enjoying Renee's company for the past hour or so, and she's here for a reason, because Renee, you are part of the Women Win Wisconsin movement, and your journey has been really, in a way, very like normal. You know, everybody has a story, but also really inspirational. 3 years ago, your life was really different. I can't imagine how Renee from 3 years ago would be looking at Renee now going, who is that person?
You are correct. Absolutely.
What changed in 2022?
The Dobbs decision. I had been following it, knowing that a decision was coming. And once I found out that they had overturned it, that was my spark. That was the real, like, whoa, something's wrong. And somebody needs to speak up, which can be hard to do in small rural towns when you're outnumbered. But it's the right thing to do. And I think clearly it lit a spark in a lot of people around this country, which is good to see. And as we continue on this journey of watching awful government, I think it is inspiring more people to get involved, because without us, no change will happen.
So it's that spark, but then you have to turn it into action. I think a lot of people are feeling that spark right now, really, with all the chaos that's in the world. But they're wondering, how do I do it? How do I take that first step? What was that first step for you?
For myself, you know, I wasn't connected on social media, so I had to get some accounts to figure out what was going on, because that's the secret behind organizing. So I attended my first Women's Rights March on July 4th of 2022 up in Sturgeon Bay. So that was great. I brought my family, my daughter, my husband, my mother and my stepmother and my father, and we all went up there and were there and marched. So once I came back home, it's like, okay, what's happening? And there was nothing. And I couldn't let that be. So that fire and that drive to just make things happen. You know, I don't have to ask for somebody to do something if it's not happening. You have to fill that void. So that void for me was having Kewaunee County's first ever Women's Rights March, which brought attention and brought some people into the fold. And it was a great experience. And then once that was done, it was this feeling of, okay, what's next? So there's always something that's going on, and you have to drive yourself to do it. If you have a need or a want or a desire, you have to be the one to get that done.
In medicine, we have this saying, see one, do one, teach one. So you went to a rally, and then you did a rally, and then you moved on to become involved in a much greater
part of this movement, engaging with other folks, expanding out. And it's, by the way, it is no small deal to do a Women's March rally in Kewaunee, because if people are not familiar with the area, pretty red area.
A little bit. But you know, something really happened that, again, kind of held me back for a lot of my life. It's just being shy, not wanting my voice out there. That's why I wasn't on social media. So, you know, that was the first thing, that kind of break in mentality, is like, I don't really care what people think about me. I have a right, just like everyone else, to voice my concerns. And as long as you do it in a respectful manner, it's good. And providing that example, again, like we talk about, for other women to see, like, look at what she's doing. Great. I can do that.
And I remember.
I didn't do it by myself, though. I mean, I want to be very clear. And we all know these connections and the people that helped connect me to people who could help me achieve my goals. That's really the secret sauce. That is really it. It's connections and working with other people to get them what they need. But that person has to be the driver, for sure.
Yeah, I remember hearing those first whisperings about this incredible woman in Kewaunee who had organized this march. And how could we get in touch with her and figure out if we could do something together in Green Bay? Or, you know, what was the next thing? Because there's no plan. It's just what's coming out of your heart. And as you start talking with people, what kind of magic comes from that collaboration?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. So for me, next was I wanted to do a billboard. So I started fundraising and I did a billboard, and then I had extra money left over. So I made yard signs that were a little provocative, got people's attention. And then, you know, and then the connections start really forming. And then you start working with local parties. Then I started campaigning for people and door knocking and writing postcards. I mean, it's the whole ball of wax. But again, once you create those connections, there's no stopping you. I mean, you have lots of people ready to drop what they're doing to talk to you on the phone and tell you what you need to do to get to that next step. So again, that's really, it's not just, yes, it's my drive, but it's also, I couldn't have done it without the people around me to help me achieve those goals.
And not just the people around you, but also you had mentioned social media. And I think that this is a really important component of your journey, because you got really familiar with TikTok and you started making these videos that really caught on. You've had a few very viral TikToks. Mm-hmm. Many of us are afraid of that medium, though. We're afraid to try it.
I love TikTok as a form of expression, and I didn't do a lot of TikTok where I'm putting myself at the center. That was not it. So when I started campaigning this last time, I did have to start doing that. So that was a little bit of an adjustment. But yeah, TikTok as an avenue to reach people and how you're thinking and feeling, it's definitely a different beast than say Facebook or Instagram. You know, they all have their little niches, but TikTok is a very good way to reach other progressive people around the state, around the country, across the globe. It's been a really phenomenal experience. And if something comes into my mind and I just want to get it out, it's almost like a therapy for me, not so much to use it as, you know, a tool to communicate, but it is really just for me to get my thoughts and feelings out there.
I just wanted to say really quick, Renee, just the love is pouring in for you on the live stream. Alicia Saunders listening says, this is why I count Renee as a mentor.
Thanks, Alicia. Alicia's so awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, we all did this together. Renee ran for Assembly District 1. I ran for Congress. Alicia ran for Assembly District 2. We all lost, but we're all still working together, because it's not about the seat. It's about building the change that we want to see in our community, that we need to see in our communities. And that is a real testament to what drives you and what your future holds.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think all of us collectively rolling up our sleeves and getting to work, it's really fun.
That's one of my favorite moments, when we all went to the Democratic convention here in Wisconsin and we took our Rosie the Riveter picture together. And I mean, this group still, some of us got elected, some of us didn't, but we're all still doing the work. And that's what it's all about. So Renee, thank you for sharing your journey. Thank you for being with us this morning. Stick around, because when we come back, we have Representative Margaret Arney from Wauwatosa joining us. She's another woman who won Wisconsin, and she is going to share with us her perspective, what's going on in the assembly, and you know, where we can get plugged in. In the meantime, I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and this is Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Well, federal monies might be in doubt for Wisconsin farmers. Governor Tony Evers looking to invest about $80 million more in Wisconsin agriculture. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Thursday. And one part of the governor's proposed 2025-2027 executive budget would create a brand new program for Wisconsin dairy farmers. $1.5 million he is earmarked to create a new pilot Dairy Agriculture Resilience Investment Now grant, or DARING for short. Wisconsin Ag Secretary Randy Romanski explained some of the details.
The great thing about this is it's getting dollars in the farmers' hands. So if they want to make improvements, whether it's technology, whether it's equipment, something to modernize on farm, this is going to give them a little bit of help to kind of make those investments, because we know things aren't cheap. And this is a way that the state can be a partner. The governor's been thinking about this for some time because he wants to get resources in the hands of farmers to let them know, hey, we're going to be your partner in modernizing and expanding your operation if that's what you want to do. And that, you know, with the way technology moves these days, it's important to help people keep pace.
Randy Romanski, our Wisconsin Ag Secretary, describing the new proposed pilot project, Dairy Agriculture Resilience Investment Now Grant, DARING for short, allowing farms to invest in things like upgrading their IT infrastructure, milking equipment, or milk processing equipment.
Veltima fungicide out-yields the competition by an average of 7 bushels per acre. But you've never been average. The only competition that really matters is you versus you. And with the performance of Veltima fungicide from BASF, you can take your best results even further. Beat your own record. Get every bushel you deserve and make this your best season yet with Veltima fungicide from BASF. Always read and follow label directions.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
The end of harvest, snow cover fields, and an early morning sunrise. Winter is a good time to evaluate your livestock's health. BioVet loves seeing healthy animals contribute to your farm's profitability. The knowledge and support from our team is here to help you make the difference in the health and productivity on your farm. Help your livestock stay healthy and call 1-800-BIOVET1 or visit bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
And yesterday, the U.S. House Committee on Education and the Workforce passed the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act. It's a bill that would allow for whole and reduced fat milk to again be served in school cafeterias. The vote, 24-10. That's a look at what's happening in food news for a Thursday. Don't forget, more available anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Pam Yonke.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at CivicMedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is cold out there this morning, and it's not really going to warm up much today. Partly cloudy, 7 above this afternoon. Tonight, 11 below. Tomorrow, snow will develop in the afternoon and continue into tomorrow night. 1 to 2 inches of accumulation possible by Saturday morning. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 20 below zero.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself. Surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Inflation has to go down. How would you suggest your president address that? He's not talking about the cost for Americans. Hell, everything he's doing seems to going to increase the cost for Americans, starting with trade wars with Canada and Mexico. So if there is something positive out of this administration, let me know what it is. I would absolutely give credit where credit is due if I see it.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
This week on The Rational Revolution, our dear friend Ahmaud Rivera-Wagner brings Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn to talk about January 6th.
Rational Revolution with Mark Becker, Saturdays at 2, Sundays at 1 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This song goes out to all of us because we're all wanting to sing it right now. Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I am Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Greg Bach is on the board. We've got the incredible Renee Peplin from Kiwani guest hosting today. And hey, guess who's joining us? Representative Margaret Arney from Assembly District 18 down in Wauwatosa. Representative Arney, good morning.
Hey, you have my previous card up. I'm now no longer a candidate. I am the assembly person.
Oh, Greg, change her card.
We're going to talk about that snap later.
Oh my gosh. So listen,
it's wonderful being here.
It's so good to have you. And I'm so excited to hear about how things are going. This is your freshman term. It's been a journey. And I just want to acknowledge it is Black History Month, and you have made history by serving as one of Wauwatosa's first Black elders. But you come from a family of groundbreaking women. So this is just what you do, right?
And I believe, I have to check this out, that I might be the first woman of color to serve in two elected positions simultaneously in Wisconsin, being both an alderperson in Wauwatosa and now the assembly representative for District 18. So
I think when you check that out.
And the thing is, we've talked about what?
When you
I haven't checked it out yet.
I want to know about it so we can amplify it.
Okay. Yes, let's amplify it. So yeah, it is quite the journey. It's one of the things that we did, we have an amazing class of 24 new Democrats in the assembly. So we have a lot of power, a lot of experience. And one of my very, very favorite people is Angela Stroud from the far north. We call her the Queen of the North. She encouraged us to change that language around freshmen.
Oh, tell me more.
Their first term legislators.
I like it. Okay, noted.
Yep. It helps to kind of even out that that hierarchy and degender that term. I'm like, yeah, Angela. Right there with you. So,
but that really speaks to the power of language and how, you know, you grow up with a language that is your culture, that is the people around you. But then when you start to think about why you use the words that you're using and how they restrict your growth, restrict your ability to communicate and to lead, that's really powerful stuff. So I absolutely appreciate that.
Yes. Yes. I think it's great. It's so different being in the assembly than any other job I've ever thought about. And there's a lot, it's so much about relationships. Mm-hmm. And it's so much about the stories that we carry in our head about how things work. So one of the things that has been a pretty amazing and also challenging is how many people want to come and talk to me in my office. So we have the routine is about a half hour meeting where every half hour I'm learning about an industry. I'm learning about a issue area. I'm learning about things and everything now because we're going into the budget is connected to resources and how resources flow. And I tell you, it is like, even when I think, okay, great. Today I have both UWM and MATC. I'm gonna be able to use some knowledge from that. No, completely different systems. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I kind of knew this, but now it's like, oh, wow. And it's somebody said, oh, well, try to stay out of the weeds. I'm like, oh, honey, it's all weeds.
It's a steep learning curve, but this is why you need great staffers who can help you get through the weeds. And also when you're on the other side of it, when you're the person from MATC or whatever organization, and you are going to your legislator because you need something, so honing your message. Well, first of all, showing up to use your voice as a constituent.
huge. I want to encourage everybody. If you have something that's important enough for you to make a call or write a letter, really consider getting on the phone, making an appointment, and coming to see us, because I would so much rather talk to you, my constituent, than to somebody who has been working with a team to fill out a really detailed message, because I know that that message has been honed to create in my mind a certain way of seeing the world. I'd rather just talk to the person about, so let's just get to this point. What's going on in your life? Mm-hmm. What's happening? What do you want? Well, how can I help you? That's so much more impactful of a conversation than just, you know, a three-line email or something like that. So people coming, and so a lot of organizations do like a lobby day. Lobby days are great. Do your lobby day. Come, I want to see you. I want to talk to you. Because the person delivering the message makes a big difference. And I also want to just say, too, that my constituents, my base, and I'll say this for a lot of us up here, they're where I get the joy of the job. The joy of the job comes from representing the people. And the more I know about what's going on in real life, from people living in my constituency and how I can be of help to you, that we are sharing goals then, and that's the happy place. So, because it's really the structure of being in the minority party. It's like playing a game where the person who makes the first move always wins. That's a boring game. I mean, it's just like, it's no fun to play. And it's kind of like that being in the minority party. So the benefit, the flip side of the benefit of that is really, I'm getting to use this first year and this first term to really dig in and really understand and help move forward some of the projects of the people who came before me. And so I'm really fortunate to be following Evan Goyke and to have this continuity to fall into and to be representing areas that are very well organized. So that's a joy. That's a real joy. So,
Renee, did you have
Renee,
a question?
I invite you whenever you're all come to Madison. If you all get on a bus and come to Madison,
I would love to.
Fill our hearts with joy.
Go visit some of our friends up here. Ryan Spouty that got elected, and Ahmad.
Ryan, yes.
So I want to ask
Ryan
you, Margaret.
Ryan is great on the microphone too. He, our very first press release, he was our spokesperson.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
For our first termers, and Ryan's just great. We have so many great people.
Yes, he is. And I just want to know, obviously recently it's been really chaotic. Are you at the state level getting a lot of calls from people in your district?
Oh, my constituents have not found me yet.
Okay.
So as soon as they do, I'm sure I will, because my colleagues who've been up here for a while, they are getting really inundated, and they're getting like those heartbreaking stories. Like Jody Emerson was sharing that on the very first day of that memo with the freeze, she got a call from a woman running a Head Start who couldn't do her payroll. She couldn't make payroll because what this administration has done is hijack the systems that are the resource flow. And so that meant that Head Start and Meals on Wheels programs literally didn't get their payments. And so they couldn't pay for their food. They couldn't pay for their staff. They couldn't pay for things. And people say, oh, well, that was rescinded. It wasn't. It wasn't. They pretended that it was rescinded, and it was not. So what they did is they went in and they broke the system. And then they kind of piecemeal put some of it back together. And it's where we're really going to see a lot of effects is down the road when we look at the some of the funds that go from the federal level to the state level and then get distributed on the local level. And one of those that we really feel on the municipal level is what's called the Community Development Block Grants. And just yesterday, I went to our local senior center here in Wauwatosa, and I found out that $85,000 of their operating budget may not come through if those grants don't flow like they're supposed to. And on the federal level, when you're talking about trillions of dollars, that doesn't sound that that's like change that you find in your couch cushions. But for our senior citizens, we have 800 members of that senior community center. That's their social connections. That's where they come and have their food. That's where they meet their friends. That's where they take their art classes and play sheep's head. And it's creating the pain that this is creating is hitting ordinary people who only want to get up in the morning and go and do their jobs and serve their communities. And they had a lot of problems before this administration, and now they have a lot more unsolvable problems. And that is, it's terrible.
And a lot of uncertainty, because we just don't know. Like you said, you know, they lost their funding. They kind of got it back. Not really. The rug's been pulled out from underneath them. You've got 30 years of experience in this nonprofit arena. I can't imagine how unsettling this must be for you personally, but especially for the people that you have served.
In fact, I'm actually taking on that word uncertainty. This is more than just uncertainty. Uncertainty is when, you know, the power goes out because you had a big storm. This is an attack. Mm-hmm. This is an attack. And the emotions behind being attacked by your government are so much more intense and so much more painful than any uncertainty that we've seen before. And I don't want to back off of that. We are really being assaulted by this administration. And the people who are absorbing that assault don't deserve it. Not at all.
I feel that a lot too. And I feel that at some, you know, we have been beaten down verbally on this side of the aisle, or just people that think differently than the President of the United States, to have him on his platform verbally abusing the American public on the daily, and then to create this chaos where he has the inability to feel or care that other people are in pain, other Americans are suffering from these decisions, just brings me to a point of, I have no idea what to expect next. If you are capable of doing this and not caring, what else are you capable of? And I hope the public at some point, you know, rallies behind the most vulnerable that are being attacked, because of course he's picking the most vulnerable because they can't always speak up for themselves. So I think personally, my job is to amplify those voices and work even harder to make sure that we help them as much as we can.
So I want to raise up, I have some amazing colleagues and I'm getting a lot of support in the assembly. Kristen, I'm always like creating these other alternatives. I so wish you were in the Congress so you could kick some butt up there.
Oh, listen, girl, we are kicking butt wherever we can. And I'll say in the minute that we have left, we are organizing, we are planning, and we are elevating women. So for people who are inspired, what is that one super quick piece of advice that you have for people who want to get engaged?
Persist and engage and do it in person, face-to-face.
Yes.
Persist, engage, face-to-face.
Representative Margaret Arney, I can't thank you enough for your words of wisdom and for taking the time to chat with us this morning.
It's my pleasure. Anytime. I'm here for you, doctor.
I know you are.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to
meet you.
All right. This is the Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on air.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
The New Hampshire legislature has proposed various schemes over the last decade to keep liberal-leaning college students living in the state from voting in elections. Most have failed, but no fewer than three voter suppression bills are before the legislature this year. A 2020 New Hampshire Supreme Court decision overturned a previous law, SB 3, and preserved the current rules allowing college students to use their dormitory or off-campus address as their legal domicile for voting purposes. As of last November, an official student ID could still be used as identification. That could change with HB 323, which eliminates school-issued identifications as acceptable means for ID for voting. SB 223 has been tried before. It allows any student eligible to vote in New Hampshire to qualify for in-state tuition at any state university system campus, but also eliminates college-issued IDs as a form of identification. HB 289 challenges the definition of domicile again. Previous bills tried to outlaw dormitories as acceptable domicile, require a car registration, or to have a New Hampshire driver's license. HB 289's latest tactic prohibits domicile status for anyone who is legally a dependent at an address outside the state. We've linked to local reporting and the text of the bills at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Turn around. Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you're never coming around.
Welcome back to Civic Media Mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. It has been so much fun spending the week with you, Craig. Thanks for babysitting me.
Oh, stab it. It's been a pleasure. And I just want to say on air, on record, Bonnie Tyler, please be quiet. It has been wonderful this week working with you and to see your progress going from, you know, a true civic media guest in this universe a lot to hosting and your chops getting formed day by day by day. It's been wonderful and it's been great. And I can't wait to do this more with you if given the opportunity.
Thank you. You know, it's very different hosting than
Seems like so much work.
It's easy to be like, well, let me tell you my opinions on things instead of like, what's the temperature outside?
I know. Oh my gosh. And you know, I anticipate there will be more civic media engagement on the horizon. Yeah. But in the meantime, there's so much more happening. I just want to share a quick little update about some fun things that are going on with me. I get to go to work tomorrow and deliver a baby, which is the best thing and what it's all about, right? It's all about taking care of each other and pitching in where we need to help out. And where I work is a place where people really need healthcare. So I love my job and I'm so honored to be able to do it. But one other really cool thing that I want to tell you about is that when I was running for Congress, I was approached by a documentary film crew. They wanted to follow our campaign. And they loved the women's health angle. They loved the reproductive rights angle. And I said, that's all great, but I don't want it just to be about the campaign. I want it to be about how we can further this discussion so that women receive the healthcare that they need, so that we can build families or not build families, if that's what we want, so that we can take care of each other. And we expanded that idea and we reached out to some other partners. And we've been working on this documentary now for a few months and we've done the filming. We're at the point where the editing is happening, and I'm really excited that we're going to be premiering a little clip in Austin at South by Southwest in March. Uh-huh. This is a big deal. We're doing a panel with the... You're funny. We're doing a panel with the producers. And one of the producers who has been really involved in this is the person who runs Every Mother Counts, a nonprofit organization focused on improving maternal outcomes.
her name is Christy Turlington. She might sound familiar.
What? Are you-
she was a supermodel back in the 80s, and now she's a super mom and a super advocate. So we've been walking this journey together, and we're expecting this documentary to come out this summer. So everybody will be able to see it probably on Max or Netflix, one of the big streaming services.
Amazing.
Yeah.
This is me being totally, totally selfish on this, is that I'm like, oh man, I'm going to text you and be like, sorry, I'm too busy. I'm hanging out with supermodels. I'm like, where'd my friend Dr. Lyerly go?
Well, here's the thing about Christy Turlington. She's absolutely beautiful,
yeah.
But she's so real. Yeah. You know, I got to spend time, you know, sitting in my house talking with her, and we drove halfway across Wisconsin together and just chatted about our own experiences as moms. And she was inspired by a bad birth outcome. She had a postpartum hemorrhage, and it really scared her. And she, like you, Renee, she wanted to turn that into something that could help other people. And it's become this huge international organization that does good and saves moms' lives. And that's something that we've been talking about repeatedly this week. How can we save moms' lives in Wisconsin? It's easy. Extend postpartum Medicaid. Find the political courage to make it happen. And when we have these discussions in a place like this, and you, our friends out across Wisconsin, across the country, when you hear this, hopefully it inspires you to step up in a way where you know you fit in and you can make a difference.
Well, I I got nothing to say.
I feel like extra people right now have a spark and a want and a need to do something. Mm-hmm. And it's up to us leaders to show them how, to model it, to connect them, to give them the phone numbers, to give them the contact information for the people that they need to call, or ideas on what they can do. But people are definitely ready to jump in and help. They just need a little direction sometimes. So that's where you come in, Kristen.
That's where we come in.
That's where we come in.
That's where we all come in. Mm-hmm. So in the meantime, we only have a couple minutes left, less than a couple minutes, but I wanted to say sincerely thank you to Greg. Thank you, Renee, for taking time this very early morning to chat with us. To Representative Margaret Arney, to Senator Jody Habersynnikin, of course, Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski. All of these women have forged this path. We have a record number of women serving in Wisconsin in public office right now. And the future is bright because we are organizing and we're uplifting each other and we're teaching each other how to get better and how to better our communities. So I feel inspired by them, and I'm so grateful to them for doing this work. You can always find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky at Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Todd Alba is going to be here tomorrow.
Nice.
Yes. Greg, what's coming up later today for you and Jane?
We have a jam-packed show today. Oh my gosh. First of all, 10:30, Angela Lang is here to talk about her article that she just wrote on DEI for the recombobulation area. We're also going to be talking to Sean Connolly from the Birkebeiner, which is happening, I believe, a week from this weekend.
They have snow this year.
We have snow. We got Brittany Merlot returning to give us weather, and J.R. Radcliffe with sports, and this shouldn't be a thing. So we are going to be packed, jammed to the rafters at 10 a.m. for Matt and Air on Air. So join us, won't you?
Love Matt and Air on Air. The programming that Civic Media has been pushing out has been so Wisconsin-based and inspiring. And I love being a part of it. So
we love having
friends,
you part of it.
Thank you. Thank you, listeners. Appreciate you tuning in. Take care of yourselves. Above all, that's the most important thing you can do, is take care of you. And when you're ready, take care of somebody else. All right? Thanks so much. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly for the Civic.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we will recap the status of the Trump administration's multiple court cases. Plus, why don't Republican elected officials want federal cuts in their states? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds.
Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your local Civic Media radio station.
Want to hear even more? Anytime?
Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Questions about Ukraine's future. President Trump has called Russian President Vladimir Putin to talk about ending the war, but he was noncommittal when asked if Ukrainian President Zelensky would play an equal role in the discussions. Tesla CEO Elon Musk speaking by video call at the annual World Governments Summit in Dubai, saying entire federal government agencies in the United States will soon be eliminated.
It's kind of like if they're leaving a weed, if you don't remove the roots of the weed, then it's easy for the weed to grow back. But if you remove the roots of the weed, it doesn't stop weeds from ever growing back, but it makes it harder.
NASA, the latest government agency, told to prepare for a reduction of employees. As for those government buyout offers, the window is now closed for those who to make a decision, a federal judge clearing the way for the buyouts to proceed, and the offers are no longer being made. A car ramming in Munich, Germany, believed to be a terror attack. 28 people hurt, some critically. This is ABC News.